Hometown boy Jesus, the star of the show. Word traveled fast from Capernaum back to Nazareth. Woo-hoo-hoo! The miracle, the Wunderkind, the miracle boy is here. And things are going to start happening. Oh, we're excited, Jesus. Oh, you're such a nice boy. You read from the Bible in church up in front of everybody. Isn't that such a wonderful passage? We love that passage from Isaiah. We think it's great. They were so happy that Jesus was there. They thought, oh boy, the blessings are going to roll now. We got our hometown boy, star quarterback, grade A student. He's going to make it perfect for us. And then Jesus tells them some stories they don't want to hear. A story about Naaman the Syrian. And a story about the widow who lived in Sidon. Now, we hear these stories and we think, yeah, God sends a prophet, and there's healing, there's abundance, there's a miracle. The widow has no food. There's a famine in all the land. God sends Elijah to this widow at Zarephath at Sidon, and she is outside the city gates gathering some twigs so that she can go home, make a fire, make a little piece of bread, eat it herself, give some to her boy, and die. That's what she says. There's no food. Elijah shows up and says, hey, can you give me some food? She says, I guess so. We're all going to die anyways. Divided three ways isn't the end of the world. So they go, but Elijah makes a promise. Elijah says, God will provide. This grain will not run out. Your oil will not run out until the famine is over. And indeed, that's what happens. They don't run out of food. The woman's boy from Sidon and Zarephath. Zarephath and Sidon. This country in what is now Lebanon on the Mediterranean Sea. Her boy becomes sick and stops breathing even. Elijah prays over this boy, this foreign boy, and he's healed. And the woman makes a confession, there is no God except the God of Israel. She sees who God really is through the intervention of Elijah. And then we hear the story, Jesus tells the story of Naaman the Syrian, from the country of what is present-day Syria. Damascus was a town even back then. It's an ancient city, the capital of Syria. Back then, it was also called Aram, the Arameans. This is the region of the world north of Iraq. And it's where Abraham came from. He was a wandering Aramean. But the Arameans, the Syrians, and the Israelites had been at war for years and years and years and years, constantly back and forth raiding each other. And so Naaman the Syrian, the general of the enemy army, had taken a slave, taken an Israelite young girl as a slave, as a spoil of war, and was desperate. He was so desperate. He had had a skin disease. He had leprosy, and he had no idea what to do with it. He resorted to asking his slave girl for help. That's how desperate he was. And Jesus reminds the people of this story where Naaman the Syrian general goes to the foreign enemy's prophet and says, can you help me? Can your God help me? And Elisha, the prophet, doesn't even go out to see him. He says, go wash in the River Jordan seven times and you'll be healed. And he's mad. He's like, oh, why did I come all down here for this? Just to go take a bath? I could take a bath back in Syria. I don't need to come down here for that. But his counselors and his advisors prevail upon him. They say, just go take the bath and see what happens. And he's healed of his skin disease. And he goes back to Elisha, and he wants to give him all kinds of presents, but he makes the same confession that the widow at Zarephath did. Truly, your God is God, and I will worship him. And he does an interesting thing. He says to Elisha, when I go back when I go back to Syria, I have to go and worship in the temple of the God there because I'm the general of the army. Can you forgive me for that? Even though I know that your God is really the only God. And Elisha says, go in peace. Go in peace. So these are the stories that Jesus is telling. But we hear those stories and we think, oh yeah, that's great. You know, God's doing some nice things with people who are outside of Israel. But you have to understand, there's another layer. So we've gone from Jesus in Nazareth to the layer of these stories. We have to go back even further. We have to go back one more step. It's kind of like Russian nesting dolls, right? You get the outside doll and the inside doll, and then one more inside that. So we have to go back one more step to understand just how crazy it was for God to be reaching out to the people of Sidon and the people of Syria. Sidon, as I mentioned before, was a rich city on the coast. And for years, the people there had amassed wealth on the backs of the Israelites by stealing both their things and their people. And this is what the prophet Ezekiel says about Sidon. He says, they are a pricking briar and a piercing thorn who have treated Israel with contempt. And this is what the prophet Joel says about the people from Sidon. You have taken my silver and my gold. You have carried away rich treasures into your temples. You have sold the people of Judah, God's people. You have sold the people of Jerusalem to the Greeks as slaves, removing them far from their own border. This is the people of Sidon. King Solomon had married some women, some royalty from Sidon, and had set up a temple to their god outside of Jerusalem, and had he himself had worshipped there, worshipped a false god there. And the very famous Queen Jezebel, who many of you have heard of, the wife of King Ahab, one of the most despicable duos, I would say, in the Bible, was from, you guessed it, Sidon. That is the history of Israel's relationship with the people of Sidon. And the people of Syria, the people of Aram, you have to understand that in Naaman's story, they were constantly at war with Israel, stealing their people, stealing their towns, stealing their goods. It would be, Naaman the Syrian would be for us like Saddam Hussein, right? And him having leprosy would be like him having HIV/AIDS to us today. Right? A socially ignoble disease from somebody who is at war with us and actively trying to hurt us. And he has with him a prisoner of war, somebody who he has kidnapped from our nation. And that, then, is the context to which Elijah and Elisha reach out to these people and heal them and bless them according to what God wanted them to do, according to God's instructions. And then that brings us finally back to Jesus in his hometown, reminding the people again that his blessing isn't just for them. You see, in Israel, at that time when Jesus was walking the earth, they didn't have institutions like we have institutions today. You know, I can go, Ed's an architect, I can go to Ed's firm, and I can say, hey, I got $1 billion. Can you build me a building, right? Can you design for me a building? Or I don't know how much your buildings cost. They're expensive, more money than I have, right? And they'll say, oh, sure, you know, we'll write up a contract, and we can build you a building, and whatever. Right? Or I can go, Deb is a OT, right? No, PT. Does PT, right? You're not related to your patients, right? No. You get an assignment and they go to the hospital and they get assigned to you and you just go, and that's how it works out. Well, that's not the way it was in Jesus' time. In Jesus' time, there were no institutions like that. People got help. If you needed a building built, you didn't go to an architect. You went to your uncle, you know, or his family friend. Or if you needed help from a doctor, you went to your grandmother, or your great aunt, right? It was all about who you knew and who you got connected to. So when Jesus went to his hometown, they were thinking, all right, we got it made in the shade now, because Jesus owes us all a favor. And we're gonna get it good, because we're all connected with him. All right, Jesus, bring on the miracles. But Jesus reminds them of these stories. The stories that predate Jesus. Sometimes we get confused. We think that Jesus is the loving one, and that, you know, God in the Old Testament isn't loving or reaching out into the world. But that's not true. Jesus himself reminds the people in his hometown, hey, guys, it's not about just us. Remember these stories where God blesses our enemies? God blesses people from the nation that we don't like. Remember those people, the people from Sidon? Remember Queen Jezebel was from there? God blessed those people. And our own personal Saddam Hussein, God healed him. Remember? And what was their reaction? They wanted to kill him. So today, I invite you to ponder, think about our village, our St. Luke's village, and about what God is up to in Jesus. And that the borders of God's blessing are so big. So big. Amen.